The scripture readings today come from the Gospel of Mark, and I invite you to read along with me. There are several passages, and so if you're using your Bible or following along, I invite you to keep your finger in that page or be ready to open back up to that. Going to begin in just a moment with a reading from Mark chapter 13 and reading verses 32 through 37, but I'll be reading a few other verses from there as well. While you're turning, I read a story about a newlywed named Sarah who called her mother weeping and sobbing because, as she told her mother, Richard just doesn't appreciate all that I do for him. And now, dear, her mother comforted, I'm sure it was just a misunderstanding. No, mother, you don't understand. I bought a frozen turkey roll and he yelled and screamed at me about the price. Well, the nerve of that lousy cheapskate, said her mom. Turkey rolls are only a few dollars. No, mother, it wasn't the turkey. It was the airplane ticket. The airplane ticket? Why did you need an airplane ticket? Well, mother, when I went to fix it, I looked at the directions and it said to prepare from a frozen state. So I bought a ticket to Alaska. So I hope Thanksgiving went a little better for you in your cooking of a turkey, at least. What would you think if the news broadcast showed an invading army or bombs and missiles that had landed on the capital of the nation, or that there were major cities that were reduced to rubble because of war that had started? We had a glimpse of that on September 11th, 2001, those who were present at that time. And when everything begins to crumble around us, sometimes we have this feeling that maybe the Lord is about to return or God is doing something or allowing something awful to happen. And Jesus' words here in Mark 13 are given to his disciples to comfort them and give them hope through the momentous changes that Jesus is foretelling that are about to take place. And I think they're hopeful words for us today. And as we enter the Advent season and light the candle of hope, it's a season where we need some hope. And I believe here in chapter 13, there are some amazing words of hope. I'm reading from Mark 13, verse 32 through 37 just now. And it says, Jesus speaking says, about that day or hour, no one knows. Not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. Whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. And normally hope is a prominent theme during the Advent season, and especially though so this year, the word Advent means coming or the coming or the approach of something important. And we believe that Jesus is coming again. The words that we just read are Jesus' reminder that he will come, but no one knows exactly when. The prophets of old had spoken to God's people about the coming of the Messiah. And those prophecies brought hope to those who were experiencing some tragic times. If you read the history of the Old Testament, as King David, that mighty warrior, had conquered nations and built this vast empire of nations and people and the kingdom and the people of God. He had had won the victory and established that nation. And Solomon, the son of David, had built this amazing temple, a glorious sign of God's sovereignty over their nation. But then after that, things began to unravel. And there were the destruction of the temple. The nation of Israel was divided by civil war and strife, and all of those things that were so precious and so valuable began to decline, and oftentimes, as they looked back, they were hoping for fulfilled prophecies. As people in those times looked at the destroyed temple, or they looked at people taken away as slaves, or they looked at how things had changed, they hoped for the coming of the Messiah. After centuries of waiting, there may have been doubt and skepticism. Would the Messiah come? And yet, Jesus, the fulfillment of that prophecy, those promises. And then he talks to his disciples about things to come. And so the message of hope, keep alert, because hope is coming. We need that kind of hope today. Because if we're honest, there have been lots of losses in this past year. People and loved ones, for me, aunts and uncles and cousin, and for you, people that you know and love. And then there have been the traditions that we so often love to see. And today, this year, Thanksgiving was different. Some of you, like me, we spent it at home alone with a few of us, two or three or one or however many, instead of lots of people. But even those where there were lots of people, I'm sure it was different. Some empty chairs and holidays and families, and what will Christmas be like? And there is the loss of security, if nothing else, here in America and other places, and the fear that abounds. And so we need hope. And many are trying to promise hope by the toys and the gifts and the things that you can buy your loved one for this year's Christmas. And maybe that will perk them up a little bit, but all of those hopes are temporary at best. The fun times, special traditions, they may happen, but this year they'll be different. There'll be some fears. And besides the coronavirus, the political things and the economic issues, some who are doing very well financially, but others who've lost their jobs and are in the food lines, never thought they would be. And so we need hope today. Not just hope that comes with things and stuff, but a hope that's deeper and a more lasting kind of hope. And I want to encourage you to look with me back in Matthew chapter 13. Sometimes as we read that, we might not understand the passages unless we look a little bit deeper. And so if you look in chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, it says, as Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." And if you've ever been to Chicago or New York or even Indianapolis, and you look at those huge skyscrapers and you see how elaborate those are, the Temple of Jerusalem, the one that Solomon built, had been destroyed, but Herod, the king, that awful king that we read about, was also an amazing architect and could get people to build. And so there was a temple, a new one constructed by Herod, and huge stones on top of another built as a monument for Christ and for God. And so the disciples are leaving the temple and they look at this and they think, how could these stones get put on top of the other? No machinery of any sort like we think of. And the disciples are admiring the architecture. In verse 2, Jesus said, "Do you see all these great buildings? No, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." And then they walk down out of the city and down into the valley and up to the Mount of Olives. In verse 3, it says, as they were sitting, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, maybe looking out over the valley to the temple, asked him privately, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they're about to be fulfilled? Jesus said to them, watch out, that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, I am he, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of war, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. And then jumping down a few verses to 13 and 14, actually 12, 13, and 14, Jesus says, brother will betray brother to death, and the father his children. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Does the reader understand? That's one of the confusing parts of the passage. We'll look at that in just a moment. But just finishing the reading down in verse 24 through 31, it says, but in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now, learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near. Right near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And Mark is writing. You see here in this passage the hand, at least, of the person who's sharing the message. And so Mark adds that little parenthetical statement, let the reader understand. And he is trying to add somehow as best he can the story of what Jesus is predicting and promising. This generation will not pass away till all these things have happened. And what does he mean by that? Because if we read it to say, well, the Lord's going to come back again before this generation passes away, that didn't happen. And so then we say, well, maybe Jesus was mistaken, or maybe we didn't see it, or there's those kind of things. But if you think of some of the other contexts, what was Jesus saying? Well, if you remember verse 12 and 13, that little statement, let the reader understand, he said, when you see the abomination that leads to desolation, then flee to the hills. Well, what is that? Well, if you remember that Mark is writing probably in the late first century or the middle of the first century, there's a awful thing that took place. The Romans, who were finally tired of the Jewish nation and all their rebellion, they came and they surrounded the city of Jerusalem. And for 4 years, they basically starved out the city. And eventually they came in and overcame the temple and the city, and they tore down the temple. And where that temple stood, they put up the symbols of the Roman gods and the Roman emperors and all of those things. And so in the place where God's temple was, all of a sudden there's an abomination. a hated thing that led to the desolation of the temple. And that happened during the reign of that generation, before most of them passed away. Some of them passed away in the process of that. Well, if the reader understands that, then what about the other part, the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of great glory? When is that angel band going to come and take us away on his snowy wings to our immortal home? We sing and hear that old song. Well, Jesus said in that same place, he said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. And there's hope in that statement. Everything might pass away. The things that you rely on, the things that you depend on, the governments and the institutions and the buildings and the traditions, all of that may pass away. But you know what? God's kingdom is bigger than Jerusalem, bigger than the temple that was erected in God's honor. The temple might be destroyed, but Jesus is still on the throne. God is still in control. The word of the Lord endures forever. And somehow to me, that message is a hopeful message. Going through horrible stuff, there's still hope. Jerusalem was destroyed, and after that, the Roman Empire was destroyed, and after that, there was the Holy Roman Empire of the Catholic Church and all of those things, and that didn't last. And then there's all kinds of governments and institutions and kingdoms that have come and gone since then, rise of religious groups, and they've fallen, and yet, you know what? Jesus is still Lord. The word of the Lord is still lasting forever. It will never pass away, Jesus said. And presidents come and they go, and political powers, though they're only temporary things, riots and rebellions and earthquakes and fires and floods and all kinds of calamities. And things may feel like they're out of control. And we sure look forward to the end of 2020, hoping that maybe somehow next year will be different. And we hope that it will be. But Jesus said, watch and be ready. Keep alert, because hope is coming. But not in the changing of the year. The hope is in Christ. And so often we read chapter 13 and think about the coming of Christ with maybe some fear and some dread. The doom and the condemnation and the judgment, and yes, that's part of it. But what if Jesus didn't really mean for us to read it that way? What if instead it was a hopeful message? What if he meant hope is coming? What if he meant it like Christmas morning? You know what Christmas morning's like, right? All kinds of exciting things and anticipation, and there are wonderful things and beautiful things about to happen, and we can't hardly sleep the night before because we anticipate what's about to happen. And why is it that we don't anticipate Jesus coming again with that same kind of hope and that same kind of anticipation? Remember how the prophecies were fulfilled, and the same God who promised those and fulfilled them is still the same God who will never pass away. And I want to encourage you this Christmas. Jesus might want us to set aside some of the regular traditions and the regular trappings, the regular Christmas lists, or at least to do things different as a way to cause us to watch for Jesus. And so this week, as we think about it being a week of hope, I want to encourage you to watch for Jesus this week. Watch with that anticipation of a Christmas morning kind of feeling. Not just with fear, but with hope. Remember how the prophecies were fulfilled. And remember that the same God who promised them is the God who will fulfill them. And he's still God today. He's still on his throne. And even though there are rebellious nations and ours, even one who seems to be declining in some ways, God is still over our nation. Let this Advent season be a reminder that Jesus' words will never pass away. And so we watch with hope, not that it might happen, but the hope in our God is that it will happen. I know that he will come through, that God will do what he promised. It's only a matter of when. Do we know when? Well, Jesus said, I don't know when. And if he didn't know when, then how are we supposed to know when? When the things begin to change, when the leaves turn green, then you know the things are about to happen. And so maybe this is a warning that it's about to happen, but nothing else, it's a warning to watch and be ready and anticipate. Peter writes this in his letter, his first letter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. It is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power. Do you know you're shielded by God's power until the coming of that salvation? God is able to protect and provide and shield, and in the meantime, that inheritance is there just waiting for the right time and the right moment. Our God is a God who fulfills his promises. Perhaps this week as you go through your activities, you could just pause for a moment of quiet and reflect. When have I seen Jesus at work this week? Well, Friday as I rang the bell at Save-A-Lot, it was amazing the number of people who came in and put a dollar or some change or maybe a lot of dollars or change in that bucket. Some of them probably needed to be on the receiving end instead of on the giving end, but generosity, I've seen that. God is at work in people's lives. And I heard one man who was putting his offering in the bucket. He said, my pastor's sick and I'm the one who's supposed to give the sermon on Sunday morning. And I thought, well, I'm glad he has somebody who can step up and serve and be his helper, his voice for that week. And I've seen Jesus at work, and I've seen prayers answered in just this last week. Have you felt loved? Have you been forgiven? Have you seen God at work in some of those ways? What's the most hopeful feeling you've had this week? Maybe you're hoping that something will happen, or maybe you've been hoping and it happened. I believe that it's important that we just stop and listen and think and put our hope in the one who is not just able to do, but a God who will indeed do what he's promised. Heaven and earth can pass away. The things that we depend on and the things that are important and the institutions and the buildings and even maybe church buildings or church institutions, they may come and go, but one thing is sure, the word of the Lord, it lasts forever. And that's our hope. Let's pray together, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can put our hope in you. Lord, may your gracious, amazing kindness and mercy rest upon us, O Lord, as we put our hope in you. Lord, we prayed that prayer at the beginning of our service, and that's our prayer for the week, Lord, that your love, your abounding love will rest upon us as we put our hope and our faith in you. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship together today and just fill our hearts and our lives with hope, whether it be in this sanctuary or whether it be each person worshiping at home in their own place. Lord, give them that hope that comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.